prayer once again and ask Him to now help us to just really focus on His Word. That's our topic. As we started a topic last Sunday evening, the believer in the Word, and we want to ask God's blessing as we plan to complete that this evening. We are thankful, Father, for this treasure that we hold in our hands. We thank You that You have seen fit to allow us to have the written Word in our possession. We understand that to whom much is given, much is required. And having Your Word makes us much more accountable than those who do not have Your Word, do not know what Your thoughts are and what Your will is. We have it. We cannot blame ignorance. I pray that You would continue speaking to our hearts this evening as we look into Your Word. I pray that we would understand its truth, we would understand its relevance, and it would be our desire to really spend more time with Your Word, making it more personal. And we thank You and commit this to You in Your name. Amen. Last week, we did look at the importance of God's Word, and we suggested a couple of ways, especially that the Word is so important to us. And the first point was salvation. We saw that in 1 Peter 1:23 through 25, that we are born again by the Word of God. People say, well, I don't see what's so important about it. Well, it is the means whereby faith comes. Faith comes, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And it is through the Word of God that we understand what God has done for us. We understand our sin. We understand our need of a Savior. And we find that it is that very object that Peter makes mention of, that it is by the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, which of course is instrumental in our salvation. We took some time looking at those verses. We'll not take that same time again this evening. Second point that we gave, the believer and the Word, why is it so important to us? We saw the importance of the Word of God in the realm of maturity as a believer. Once we accept the Lord as our own personal Savior, the Scripture says that we are as newborn babes. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere or the pure milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. We don't know everything when we accept the Lord as our personal Savior. How many of you have known the Lord at least 40 years? Do you know everything in those 40 years? Do you know everything that God wants for you? And no. But how many of you that have known the Lord at least 40 years know more now than you did when the day you were saved? We could all raise our hands there, couldn't we? Whether we've known Him 40 or 4 or whatever it might be, or just even a year, if we have spent time in His Word, we grow through the Word. And it's God's desire for us to spend time in it so that we can grow in it. And we were encouraged last week to make sure that we don't allow ourselves to come to the place, perhaps we could call it apathy, perhaps we could call it just complacency or whatever, that we just have that attitude that, well, you know, I'm not even going to bother checking what he says in his book or on that radio program because, you know, after all, he has a doctorate in theology. He has studied. He's gone to school. He's written this book for certain. He knows what he's talking about. And so who am I to go to the Word and try to look for myself and see, you know, that just didn't quite sound right. And yet we pointed out last week the Bereans in the book of Acts. We commend them for the fact that they did not just accept everything that Paul the Apostle, who would question what he would say? Well, it tells us that the Bereans, they went home and daily they searched the Scriptures to make sure that those things were true that they were hearing. It's good for your protection. It's good for your encouragement. It's good for your assurance to go back and just double check. You know, Pastor used such and such a verse. He made reference to something. I never heard that before. I never saw that before. Go back and was it what he said? Is that the truth? Yeah, he was right. Boy, that's something. That gives you confirmation. That gives you assurance. It helps bolster your own faith and growth in the Lord. But we had to stop there due to lack of time. We move on. Point number three, if you're going to use the same outline you started last week. If not, it's point one tonight if you want to take your and start with a fresh page. What else? Is it just for salvation and maturity, the importance of the Word of God in the life of a believer? No, there are more things. And we've only chosen four for this message that we've taken 2 weeks to give. And there are numerous that we could have given, but we just selected four. Our word tonight, and the next one that we would suggest, is the word purity. Purity. What do you mean purity? Clean living. Right living. Living a life that honors and glorifies the Lord. Purity. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, in verse 9, verse 11, familiar verses. But the psalmist says, wherewithal, another way to say that big word, or another way to just explain it would just be this simple word, how. Wherewithal, he just simply means, how shall a young man cleanse his way? Live a life that is clean. A life that is honoring to the Lord is the right thing in the eyes of the Lord. How shall a person do that? What's the answer? By taking heed thereto according to your word. In verse 11 he says, your word have I hid in my heart. For what purpose? That I might not sin against you. You see here the psalmist making reference to the effect of the Word of God on the life of an individual who is serious about their life counting for the Lord to His glory and honor. The psalmist is wondering, How can I live a life that is right, clean, honoring, pleasing to you, Lord? And he answers it by saying, well, and the Holy Spirit gave the answer. Well, it's by taking heed to your word. Is purity in the life of a believer something that we ought to be concerned about in this day and age? I mean, after all, this is the 21st century. Surely people live pure lives, don't they? There's no impurity in lives whatsoever, or is there? We're civilized. The sad thing of it is, and we know, that today, and we have seen it in recent years, the discovery of individuals that we should have least suspected of being guilty of impurity, sin, wrongdoing in their lives. And it just keeps surfacing. We just keep hearing more. Here's another pastor who has fallen guilty into sin. Moral failure. Lack of integrity. Helping himself to the church finances. We find that corporations and organizations that have been good, solid names for the Lord fall by the wayside down through the years. Why? Lack of purity. Lack of honesty. Lack of integrity. And the psalmist says, how can a person cleanse their way? It's God's word. If I would take heed to God's word, I'm not going to be able to just freely sin and not be affected by it. He says, by taking heed to your word I've hid in my heart. And that is, of course, committing it to memory so that I can think of it quite often, so that it comes back to my remembrance. Many, many times, thy word I've hid in my heart so that I might not sin against you. This is the answer for right living. Let's look at some passages even here in Psalm 119. Look at verse 97 to begin with. Think about what he's saying here in defining in this section of 8 verses the importance of God's word in this realm of purity. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through your commandments, have made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. In verses 98 through 100, he speaks of the importance of the word for wisdom and understanding, but he continues on with this thought of purity. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. The psalmist says, you know, I discover something about your word. It has changed the way I live my life. I have refrained, I have kept my feet from every evil way. I can't just be careless about the way I live my life, how I go about my daily business, if I am going to keep your word. I can't go here. I can't do that. I can't be involved in this if I am going to be obedient to your word, verse 101 says. Verse 102, I have not departed from your judgments, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And here he closes by saying, through your precepts or teachings, I get understanding. Therefore, because of that, I hate every false way. What's our topic that we're looking at, the importance of God's Word, it is to direct us in the realm of pure living. And through the understanding of God's Word, verse 104, he says, I understand that this can't be right. I can't do this. And I hate every evil or false way. Because of when I spend time in your word, you show me what your will is and what your will isn't. And your word, it just keeps prompting me in the way I live my life. Look at verse 133. He says, order my steps or direct my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Lord, I'm asking that you just really direct my life through your word. I want to live a life that is free of iniquity. I don't want to be involved in sin. Why should a Christian be so concerned about sin in their life? Why should a Christian be even thinking about this realm of purity? What is it that sin does as far as the effect with God? It separates us. What does it do to the fellowship with God? It breaks the fellowship with God. We can't enjoy fellowship with our Heavenly Father when there is sin in our life. We made reference to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in our morning message. Because there was sin, they did not have fellowship with God. They did not enjoy like they had previously done hearing the voice of God entering into the garden. We don't know how long they had enjoyed that unbroken fellowship, but once sin entered, it was not possible for them to have fellowship with God because the sin was breaking that fellowship. What about the Holy Spirit? What does sin do to the Holy Spirit? It what? Grieves him, and there's another word. Quenches him. To quench something is to do what? Turn it off. Put it out. You quench your thirst by getting a drink, and it settles it right down. Grieving, quenching the Holy Spirit, that happens when I have sin in my life. What about sin in relation to one another in the body of Christ? Sin destroys fellowship and unity of brothers and sisters, one with another in Christ. You can't enjoy fellowship in Christ when there is sin in the life. Something's not right. Oh, you can plaster a smile on your face and you can put on a good act, but you know things aren't right. Sin. And so we see the importance of a life that is pure. How can that happen? Strive harder, try harder. No. We go back to our text for this one tonight. Wherewithal or how shall a young man or woman cleanse their way? By doing what? Taking heed to the word of God. Thy word have I hidden in my heart so that I won't sin against you. I know all that, Pastor. You're not telling me anything new here this evening. I know that. This message is not designed, but it is to remind us, as it suggests even in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, what is the result? To him it is sin. So, I need this reminder tonight. I hope you do too. I need God's Word. I need to spend time daily in God's Word. I need it for my maturity. I need it for my purity so that I don't get careless and dirty in my Christian life. It's sin that causes the defilement in our walk with the Lord. One last topic that we would mention, and that would be number 4 or number 2, depending upon where your notes are tonight. We've looked at the importance of the Word of God for salvation, for maturity, for purity. How about for number 4, direction? How many of you always know what you are supposed to do with your life? How many of you always know what is the answer to this decision, this choice? You are coming to an intersection here. You could take it to one way or this way. How many of you always have it all the answers? Well, there are no hands raised. There's a good reason for that, because it's not in man to know really the direction of his life, is it? We don't have all the answers. We don't, and there's a reason for that. God didn't tell us everything, did he? God wants us to do what? God wants us to look unto him. God wants us to depend upon him. God wants us to understand that we can't make it on our own. The only thing that I have succeeded in making on my own is a mess. Have you ever noticed that? Maybe that's... I've tried to do things myself, and I've made big messes. God says, look unto me. I want to show you my will. I want to show you my way. Psalm 119, verse 105, a familiar verse. And sometimes it's the most familiar, most well-known. Well, I've known that. Then why don't we apply it? Why don't we go back to it? And what does Psalm 119, 105 say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? You hold it high, a light unto my path so that I can see what I am supposed to be doing. Many, many times we find ourselves with questions. What am I supposed to do? Why is this happening? What is God trying to teach me? What should I be, how should I be responding in relation to this? We find that God will show us from his word. Look at Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Not only does it give light, but he says it giveth understanding to the simple. Don't let that reference to simple be offensive to you. We're all in need of direction, aren't we? We all need to cast our care upon the Lord because He cares for us. We honor the Lord when we fall before Him and we confess, Lord, I don't know the way. I don't know what I am supposed to be doing. Lord, I don't know what you are trying to teach me. But let's continue on. Let's not stop there. Let's then voice to the Lord and say, but Lord, I am waiting on you. Lord, I am turning to you. I am trusting you to show me. Well, what other alternative would there be? To say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're trying to teach me. But, you know, here's what I'm going to do about it. Here's what I think about it. That's not what God wants us to do. In Proverbs 6, verse 23. It says, the commandment is a lamp. Commandment, God's word. The law is light. What's the law? God's word. It's a lamp, it's a light. And the reproofs of instruction. Those things that we learn in the Word, it's light, it's a lamp, and these reproofs, these rebukes, these things that the Spirit of God is beginning to teach us, they are the way of life to do what? In this instance, to direct us, to steer us clear of trouble. And many, many times God's Word does that, doesn't it? Many, many times we see how God's Word steers us away from trouble, or it's God's intention to use His Word to steer us in the direction toward the way of life that He intends for us. And so the Lord throws light on each step, and He shows us where the next step can be taken. I know we have some men here in our church tonight that are listening that have at one time, like myself, enjoyed hunting and hunting deer. And part of that is you want to be successful. You go to the woods long before daylight. Well, if you're going to go to the woods long before daylight, you're not going to be able to see, fool. I know. But you know what? There's something that you always take with you. You take a small light with you. And when you're headed out into the woods to hopefully score with the deer, if you're sharp, you don't take that flashlight and you... As you're walking into the woods, you know what you do? You turn that thing on and you shine that light right down to your feet so that you can just see where you are going. But that, you say, well, that sounds kind of risky. You know what? When it's black out there, and your eyes get used to the darkness, that little old light that you've got, that is more than sufficient, right, Andy? Right, Rick? You don't need some big halogen 1,000 lumen thing to get your way out, but one of these little bitty, just push the button in this little bitty thing, that's all you need. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And you know God does that for us. If we will just commit our way unto Him, trust also in Him, as it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. One of the ways of acknowledging the Lord, here's one of the ways. Lord, I don't know what I ought to be doing, but I'm going to look to your word and I'm going to wait on you to show me what I'm supposed to do. Well, we've just looked a couple of Sunday evenings here, just a few things concerning the word. And when we realize how important this is to a believer, is it a surprise how much down through the centuries God's word has been under attack, to malign it, to cast doubt upon it, to come up with all of these different translations with this vernacular and that twist to it. There's a reason behind why God's word is so much under attack. The enemy of our soul knows the word of God, it's quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it pierces even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And if the enemy can keep us away from God's word, he'll do it. But may we have the resolve. I want to spend time in God's word. I needed it for my salvation. I need it to mature and grow. I need it if my life is ever going to be clean, honoring to Him, pure is the word we used, and I need it if I am ever going to know what God wants for me in my life. We'll stop with those. Why don't you see how many things you could add to the list of the importance of God's word to the believer. Let's stand and be dismissed. We do thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for what we've seen. We thank you for the truth of this. Thank you that your word never grows old. It's timeless, and its truths never lose their effectiveness in the life of a believer who is honest before you. Pray these simple truths would be a blessing to our heart and life. Take us safely to our homes. Dismiss us with your blessing. In your name we pray. Amen. And you are dismissed.